Welcome, Indians fans, to Downtown Indians, a Downtown Sports Network production. I'm your host, Zach Martin. Hope you enjoy the episode. Let's play ball. Hello, welcome Indians fans to episode 4 of Downtown Indians. I'm your host, Zach Martin, and so glad to have everyone back here tonight. I know it's been a while since we've had episode 3 back in earlier this month, just with a lot of scheduling issues in terms of just being home and work and everything that's going on. It's been a little hectic trying to get a fourth episode out, but I figure it'd be a good time to get one out for everyone to listen to. You know, as we are closing out the month of March and starting in the month of April here in a couple days. So figure why not? Let's get something out for all of you Indians fans who've been, you know, want to know what's going on and, you know, just have something to distract ourselves, I guess, if you want to say, from everything that's going on. So we're going to have a good night tonight for an episode. Going to go over some Indians roster moves that have happened and other news involving the Indians that have been announced or have gone on. Talk about this series that the Indians have been putting on for MLB 20 of the Show, where they have done simulated games for the 2020 season. I know Jensen Lewis from Sports Time Ohio has been, you know, giving updates on it and all that other stuff. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit and then answer some fan questions as well. I know you guys had a lot of questions for me the last few weeks, and I'm excited to answer them. So we got a good number of questions. So thank you to everyone who's doing that. If you haven't yet, make sure to go to the Facebook page, Downtown Indians. Go give it a like. Also, if you could share it and invite your friends to it, I would really appreciate that. We are over 850 likes, and the goal is to get to 1,000. Which is the next goal for the page, and then hopefully get some more as we go along. But right now, our goal is to hit 1,000 on there. And also follow me on Twitter at Downtown Indians, where I do a lot more news updates and, you know, my thoughts on the season. You know, well, lack of season that's going on, or, you know, I've also been giving some updates on the virtual Indians season as well that Jensen has been mostly covering, and just stuff that I do on that Twitter account. So make sure you go check that out as well. Give it a follow. But other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. I know it's been a little crazy over the last few weeks with coronavirus going on and everything's been shut down because, unfortunately, this past Thursday would have been opening day for the Indians as they would have faced the Detroit Tigers at 1:05 or 1:10 in the afternoon. So it's been unfortunate, I could say, to say the least. I mean, just putting it mildly, it's just something crazy to think about, for the fact that there's no sports going on at all. Like, NBA shut down, NHL is shut down, March Madness has been canceled, all the, you know, big soccer leagues around the world have been shut down, even MLS shut down. It's just been, it almost feels like we're in an episode of the Twilight Zone where you just can't fathom having no sports, especially, you know, all of us diehard Indians fans who've been looking forward to some Indians baseball ever since the season of last year, and, you know, the buildup of what was going to happen this year with, you know, Corey Kluber leaving and, you know, having the rotation of possibly, you know, Mike Clevinger, Shane Bieber, Carlos Carrasco, and then see what kind of battles would have happened between, like, Aaron Civale, Zach Plesac, Adam Plutko, Jeffrey Rodriguez, Tristan McKenzie, and all these other guys. And looking at the relievers, like, you know, Whitgren, Karashak, Hunter Wood, Adam Simber, Oliver Perez, and, you know, Brad Hand and all that. And, you know, look in terms of infield, you know, how the lineups would have shaken out, how the outfielders would have been picked. because going through most of the offseason and the live spring training, that's what everyone was thinking about. Like, what's going to happen with the 26-man roster? Because, you know, they expanded the roster to 26 guys, but you only carry 13 pitchers. So that would open up another spot for another depth outfielder. So the Indians could have been working with, you know, possibly 6 or 7, maybe 8 outfielders, depending on what, you know, Terry Francona wanted to do in terms of the rosters. Because, you know, we got, you know, Jordan Luplo, Oscar Mercado, Bradley Zimmer, Greg Allen, Delino Del Shields, Framil Reyes, you know, Domingo Santana and all that. Then, of course, you look at the infield with, you know, what are they going to do with, like, Carlos Santana, Jake Bowers, Cesar Hernandez, Mike Freeman, you know, Francisco Lindor, Jose Ramirez, you know, the catchers of, you know, Roberto Perez and Sandy Leon. Those were some, you know, what were the Indians going to do with that 26-man roster? Who was going to come out of camp and all that stuff? But unfortunately, you know, the season's been postponed for the last couple weeks, you know, losing the whole back half of spring training, and now we're on to day 4 of no regular season baseball because the season started Thursday. Indians got the day off on Friday, and then all you really had was Saturday, yesterday and today, and then tomorrow would have started the Chicago White Sox series. So it's just been a weird time because for me growing up, you know, being from Northeast Ohio, you know, I was born in 1981. And luckily for me, I mostly got into the Indians right around the time the Browns left for Baltimore. And I think I was like 4 when it happened. And by the time the Browns came back, I was 8. And at that point, you know, you had, you know, the Indians do really well in 1994, make appearances in the World Series in 95 against the Braves, 97 against the Marlins. You know, of course, we don't know how that unfortunately ended, but you'll still get teams. You know, Jacobs Field just opened in 94. You had that really great walk-off that start the stadium off in the right fashion. You know, 455 straight sellouts. You know, by the time the Browns came back, you know, everyone was clamoring for the Browns. But, you know, I'm a Browns fan. But for me, it's always been the Indians. And I don't know. It's just every year. It's the one time of year sports-wise that I'm mostly really excited for anything league-wise or team-wise to happen. You know, everyone's excited for Brown season to start up or the Cavs or Ohio State Buckeyes or, you know, whoever your hockey team was or soccer teams and all that stuff. And, you know, I was excited for those dates too of those seasons starting. But for me, it's always been the Indians. It's always been opening day, you know, depending on if it's in Cleveland or, you know, if it's anywhere else that MLB decided to do. And crazy thing is, for the first time in a while that I can remember, it was actually a really nice day on Thursday in Ohio, you know, for opening day, you know, 62 degrees and sunny. And unfortunately, there was just no baseball. And that's the crazy thing, because you think every time this year comes around, you know, end of March, early April, boom, we got some baseball and it's finally back, you know. Gone through the whole month of spring training, gone through the whole offseason. What are they going to do? And you're gearing up. You know, everyone's, you know, buying, you know, T-shirts, jerseys, ball caps, anything that resembles getting ready for the 2020 season. You know, everyone's rocking their Indians gear. I know I was. I mean, I'm always rocking Indian stuff. And it was different. It's not something you'd really think of happening where there's no games. And for me, that's what mostly was weird for me on that day, on Thursday, not having any games, because my dad used to be a reporter for the Record Courier back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, going to Old Municipal Stadium. I mean, I never remember going, but he told me from stories that he took me, and that's the thing that me and him bonded a lot over. I mean, we've bonded over a whole bunch of sports, but it was always the Indians that was most of the biggest bonding point. And that's what made me just love the Indians, is the fact that it's a really big family atmosphere. You know, every year it's what are they going to do next? You know, win or lose, you know, as Indians fans, you know, even Cleveland, you know, ride or die with your teams. But for me, it's always been the Indians. You know, you know, the early 2000s, you know, from 2002 to 2005, where the Indians are trying to rebuild. Some of those seasons were kind of rough, but the Indians got good. You know, 06, 07, kind of okay. Then, you know, 2008 almost made the World Series. You know, unfortunately dropped that ALCS against the Red Sox. You know, but then after that, it's been pretty good for the most part for the Indians. Then you're looking at 2015, the Indians are really getting back in it. 2016 to make the World Series. You know, 17 and 18, they made the playoffs, unfortunately, some just bad exits, you know, against the Yankees and the Astros. I mean, we're not going to go into the Astros stuff, but that was just – this is just how the Indians have been over the last few years. It's just been really exciting baseball to watch. And, you know, unfortunately, last year wasn't the year that everyone would think of how the Indian season would go, you know. Start off really slow, you know, then – came back from 11 games back to tie the Twins and unfortunately lost it at the very back end of the season. But granted, winning 93 games it was last year, 92, 93 games last year, that's still really good for the Indians. Unfortunately, they, you know, just couldn't make the wild card, you know, win the division because the Twins came out of nowhere, you know, Oakland got in and all that stuff. But it's just, I don't know. It's a weird feeling not seeing, you know, Indians games on TV because I live in South Carolina, so I have to get the MLB TV app to just, you know, get Indians games. But I'm okay with that, though. I mean, you know, it's watching the Indians, you know, listen to, you know, Matt Underwood and all those guys. And you got Tom Hamilton and, you know, it's just, it feels like it's just a void, if that makes sense to anyone. It's just something that you never think of. And I know I'm not the only one that thinks that way because, you know, I've seen Indians fans on social media, you know, videos of, like, you know, just people, you know, showing, you know, talking with their kids about the games or, you know, just talking in general, just saying it's just a weird feeling, you know, and just talking to everyone on the Facebook page, just how everyone just can't believe there's no baseball going on. And that's the crazy thing because that's a lot of what us diehards look forward to every spring is some Indians baseball. So I don't know. I'm hoping that it's not too long, but from what I'm hearing from the MLB, we're talking, they're hoping to get something going in May, but they said by the latest, they might talk about maybe June or July. Then at that point, what are you going to do? Are you going to basically get rid of a lot of off days? Are you just going to have a lot of back to like double headers and stuff like that? Are you like, how's the travel going to be? It's a lot of questions that baseball is going to have to figure out what they're going to do. Are they just going to, like I said, are you going to have a lot of double headers to make up games? You're going to get rid, because there's not going to be a whole lot of off days, because then they're really talking about how the season's going to play out in terms of travel. And I'll ask, because you're talking 81 home games for these teams, like they need to get those home games in and stuff like that, because a lot of teams live off the ticket of the revenue of the fans going to games. You know, especially in Cleveland, you know, where we have somewhere near like the upper one, like 1.7, 1.8 to like maybe 2 million fans a year coming to the games. And that's, you know, that's something the Indians live on, is, you know, having fans come to the games, pay for tickets and concessions and all that. Plus, you're talking TV deals too. So, you know, the Indians got Sports Time Ohio. They need, you know, they make money off the games being played on TV and stuff. So that's something that, you know, they have to figure what they're going to do with that. So it's just a weird situation, not seeing all the stuff that's going on and not really having Indians baseball. So like I said, from what I've seen, for the most part, you're talking, I mean, MLB and the MLB Players Association agree that they're not going to have they're not going to start the season up until there's been, you know, lifts on, you know, mass gathering of people. You know, is travel going to be okay? There's not going to be any restrictions on, you know, people not going to the facilities, you know, and all this other stuff. So it could be until Major League Baseball gets all clear from, you know, governors and you know, government as a whole saying that, okay, you guys can travel, you know, you can do mass gatherings, you get fans to games, stuff like that. Because it's going to be a slow process of getting all the fans back in, because you can't just automatically have, you know, thousands upon thousands of people just show up all at once right off the bat. You know, this is going to have to take a little bit of, you know, slow process of getting fans in. So, unfortunately, baseball is saying they're just going to wait on that until there's the right time to do that. So, and hopefully it's not too much long. Hopefully it's not too long, but until, you know, we flatten the curve and, you know, with all the states being on stay at home orders and, you know, they're telling people to stay home, it's just all going to depend on how long that takes, you know, for everyone to flatten the curve and, you know, figure out how to get the testing done right and everyone gets better and stuff like that, where tour businesses can open back up and, you know, teams can go back to their leagues and we can get some sports back. So it's just, it all depends. But from what I'm hearing, it's going to be June or July, but MLB is hoping for May. But I would say it's probably going to be another 2-3 months, guys, until we possibly get some baseball back. And then at that point, how are you going to get a season in and stuff like that? And my only worry is that, are people going to complain about the World Series champion and that, oh, they only won it because it was a 2 or 3 month regular season and a playoffs. It's like, it's not, you know, like where they won 160, like how they played all 162 games and all that. And I don't want to have people count the 2020 season as an asterisk year because of the late start to the season, and, you know, the season might be shorter or they're going to cram in a lot of games. I just don't want to have people discrediting the 2020 World Series if we get one in just because of a shortened season. It's one of those circumstances you just can't, it's out of your control. No one thought this was going to happen. So I really do hope we get a season in and then we do crown a World Series champion. I'm really hoping people can have an understanding that it's just something that's out of the control of Major League Baseball and all of us as, you know, people in general. It's just, you can't treat the champions just differently because of a shortened season or how the season played out. It just is what it is. So other than that, that's pretty much all I really want to talk about in terms of, you know, just my overall thoughts and feelings of how everything is going on and what they're going to do in terms of what baseball is going to have, the possibility of what's going to happen next. So it's just all really depends on that aspect of what's necessarily next for baseball. So we are going to go into some Indians news. The Indians recently, as of a couple days ago, they did option down some players back to AAA Columbus, and in the terms of the guys that they sent back were the likes of Aaron Civale, Zach Plesac, and James Karaschak, and also Bradley Zimmer to AAA. Now, this has mostly been moves for terms of service time because MLB and the MLBPA made some agreements on, you know, service time and arbitration and all that. And I think for the Indians, sending these guys down, it's mostly just a roster move to save service time. So that way they're not, because, you know, after a certain while, you get 6 years with a team in the majors, you get, you know, free agency. And then after a certain while, you get arbitration and stuff like that. So the Indians, to save them on having to worry about losing guys to service time, to where now they might have been in the majors longer, even though there hasn't been a full season. So that's why they sent Savali, Plesac, Karaschak, and Bradley to AAA. It was mostly just to make sure that they don't get that service time added on. And that way it saves the Indians a chance not to worry about dealing with arbitration a year early or, you know, free agency a year early and all that stuff. So that's just something that the Indians thought was a great – and I think it's a good idea. I mean, to save, you know, the Indians are losing an extra year with all these guys. It's the right thing to do if you really think about it. It's something they really need to think about. So overall, I mean, nothing to really worry about. It's like they're not going to start in the MLB roster. I think you're going to see Savali, you're going to see Plesac, and you're going to see Karaschak, you know, either in the rotation or in the bullpen. And Bradley Zimmer, just all depends on how he's feeling to potentially get back into the main roster. It just all really depends on, most of it really depends on how the outfield situation is going to be. So that's something to look towards as well. So, I mean, overall, that's really pretty much the big news for the Indians in terms of just, you know, moving guys up and down and all that stuff. The thing that I know it's on everyone's mind, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit, but there are some fan questions as well. That what are the Indians going to do with Francisco Lindor? Because, you know, with service time, it's going to be 1 year lesser on Frankie's contract going into the 2021 season. Because there's, like I said, with service time still happening, that means it's just one less year with Francisco Lindor on the roster. Depends on how long this thing takes and what the Indians go from there. And everyone's wondering, are the Indians going to sign Francisco Lindor, or are they going to take this time in terms of the stoppage? You know, are they going to possibly, you know, talk to Frankie more? And I think they're going to try to see what they can do about that. I'm really hoping that they, you know, talk to him and see what they can do to bring him back, because I know that's what everyone's worried about. Like, are they going to get Frankie back, or are they going to trade him away? And honestly, I mean, I would love for them to keep Frankie. It just depends on what the term is and how much money it is and all that stuff too, because there's a lot of aspects in terms of that. And I really hope that they do keep him, because, you know, Francisco Lindor, like I've said in the past, the five-tool player, you know, once-in-a-generational guy. You know, he's a once in a, you know, franchise player that you really want to keep on your roster. And that's something that you really need, you know, in a market like Cleveland. You really do need something like that. You do need a guy like that, that's the face of the franchise. And that'll get fans excited to come to games and all that stuff too. So it's just really depends on what the Indians want to do with that. And I really think that it would benefit the team overall if they do, you know, get Frankie. It makes things more interesting for the timeline of the Indians to manage to get Frankie back. It, like I said, it just all depends on what they want to do with that, you know, term, how much money and all that stuff. And, you know, are the Indians willing to open the pocketbook some more to get Frankie in there? Is Frankie going to, you know, understand just what kind of market that Cleveland's in? Is he going to be able to take that little bit of, you know, hometown discount to stay with the team? I'm like, guys should get paid for all the effort that they put in. They should be able to get paid all the money that they deserve. You can't deny that. Frankie is a guy who deserves a lot of money and should get paid for it because of how he is as a player, you know, power, speed, RBIs, fielding, you know, especially the guy who hits, you know, leadoff most nights and probably second, but mostly leadoff. That's the type of guy you want to pay money for. It just all depends on what the Indians want to do. I think that's really something to look at too. So it's just all depends on what the Indians want to do, man. It all really is. And I'm hoping that they do find a way to get Frankie in a longer term contract, make sure he stays in Cleveland. But like I said, I got some fan questions about that I will answer later on. It really just depends on overall what they want to do. Like I said, it's just who knows what's going to happen with that. But we are going to move on to the series that's been going on virtual that Jensen Lewis has been following, you know, keeping people updated on in terms of the Indians and stuff like that. And I think it's really something to, you know, look at, you know, pay attention to. I think it's really cool what the Indians are doing. They're doing a series with, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately there's no season going on. So the cool thing that the Indians are trying to do is, you know, how they're taking the 2020 season on MLB 20 The Show and, you know, doing simulated games, you know, and, you know, keeping track like it's the actual baseball season. Just, you know, to keep something, you know, to keep fans occupied in terms of just this downtime of what's going on. So I think it's really cool what the Indians are doing overall as to, you know, at least have some content going on, you know, online, you know, with the baseball, with, you know, with the, you know, MLB 20 of The Show, and then having Jensen Lewis of, you know, Sports Time Ohio keep track of it. And then, you know, have Jim Rosenhaus, you know, do some, you know, a lot of the, you know, recaps of those games. So I think it's really cool how they're doing that. So the first game that the Indians did was back on Thursday for opening day. It was a 9-3 win against the Tigers, you know, which was really cool. That's really great to see. You're hoping that you really hope that'd be something that's really cool to do for some for an opening day, you know, if they actually do get one. Because the lines for the Indians in that one was that Shane Bieber went six innings. He got gave up four hits, two earned runs, two walks, and nine Ks. And then, you know, Karinchak came in for one inning with no hits, no runs, and three Ks. And then in terms of hitting, Framil Reyes went 2-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBIs, and then Roberto Perez went 2-for-2 with 2 doubles and 2 RBIs. So that's the first game was the Indians winning on opening day 9-3, which was really amazing to see, you know, just in terms of that. And then, you know, you look at the game from yesterday, that, you know, the second one of the series, and that one came out to where the Indians won the game as well, which was really great to see. The Indians hit 4 home runs, and they had 4 guys combined for 3 hits in the shutout. Carlos Santana went 1-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBIs. Lindor 2-for-4 with an RBI. Framil Reyes 2-for-4. With a home run and 3 RBIs, and Jose Ramirez 2-for-4 with a home run. Mike Clevinger went 6 innings with 1 hit, 1 walk, and 13 Ks. Then they had Adam Zimmer, Nick Whitgren, and Oliver Perez went for 3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 1 walk, and the strikeout. So they won that game. And then game 3, which was today, which was also phenomenal for the Indians. They actually had a 6-run ninth inning that was capped off by a Carlos Santana walk-off grand slam, and they won that game 12-10 to sweep the series, which was just phenomenal to see. The Indians had a 3-0 lead after the 1, and then it was 3-2 after 3, then it was 4-2 after 4, and then the Detroit came back, got one in the sixth, and they scored 4 runs in the 7th and 3 in the 8th to give them that lead. And then the Indians, with the 8th and 9th inning combined, scored 8 runs. Like I said, got that grand slam in the 9th to win 12-10. So it was really great to see with the Indians, with just a massive comeback in terms of how that game played out. Like I said, Santana went 1-for-4. You know, he got that grand slam with the walk. Oscar Mercado went 0-for-5. Francisco Lindor went 2-for-5. Framil Reyes went 2-for-3. Jose Ramirez 1-for-4. Cesar Hernandez 1-for-4. Domingo Santana 2-for-5. And then they had Roberto Perez go 1-for-5. And then they had Tyler Nake go 1-for-2. So right, that gave them the series sweep. Aaron Civale, 7 innings, 10 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Nick Whitgren, 3 runs on 3 hits. 2 of them were earned in an inning. And then Maton, 1 inning, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts for the pitchers. And that right now, after 3 games, the Indians do have a perfect record of 3-0. The White Sox are 2-1. The Twins are 2-2. The Royals are 1-2, and the Tigers are 0-3. The Indians have a 1-game lead on the White Sox, 1.5 on the Twins, 2 on the Royals, and 3 on the Tigers. So that is the update of the simulated season that the Indians are doing on right now. And like I said, with Jensen Lewis keeping track with that, something really cool to see. Like I said, that's something to really follow up on. So I would say just keep up with that on the Indians, Facebook page. They do Instagram, IGTV update videos on that as well on their Instagram account at, Indians. And then they also do, they also drop the videos of the highlights on their YouTube channel at Cleveland Indians on YouTube as well. So if you want to catch the highlights of these simulated games, make sure to check out the Facebook page, Instagram IG account, and also their YouTube channel. And like I said, they also keep an update with that on their Twitter account at Indians. And also check out Jensen Lewis as well, because Jensen has done a great job of keeping track with that as well. And he's really doing a good job of keeping Indians fans updated with that as well. Try to make it light and fun. Try to keep Indians fans engaged as we're going on with this as well. And check out articles that Hoyes has been doing, Mandy Bell and all of them as well. Make sure to check up on articles that have been being posted out as well. and stuff like that. So it's something to really keep track of. I know it's not the real thing, and I understand that, but you know, it's something to, you know, it's something that's a little fun and a little different, you know, to keep our minds off of what's going on. And you know, it's bringing some type of Indians content, because I know Sports Time Ohio as well have been showing some old games. So they did, you know, the opening, you know, 1994 home opener, you know, against the Mariners back on Thursday, and they've been playing a lot of, you know, the 22 game you know, winning streak game on. You know, then they had that massive comeback game against the Mariners and stuff like that. So a lot of cool things that, you know, the Indians have been doing, and also Stowe as well. So a lot of cool other Indians content that's been going on as well. So I would definitely recommend, you know, keep still watching Sports Time Ohio of all those Indians games, and then, you know, keeping track on this virtual reality baseball series that they're doing as well between the Indians, Stowe, Jensen Lewis and all that. So a lot of cool stuff that's going on right now with the Indians in terms of virtual stuff. All right, everyone. So now we are going to move on to our final segment of the show, which is basically going to be fan questions. So thank you to everyone who sent those questions. So, and if you guys ever wanted to get your questions featured on the show, make sure to follow the page on Facebook, because where I will drop the usual post that I do every couple days before the podcast is recorded. So if you ever want to have your questions answered on the podcast, make sure to send them over to that post, or hit me up on Twitter and do Downtown Questions, or send me an email at downtownindians@gmail.com if you ever want to get them answered. So the first question is from Blake Elkins. Yes or no, Lindor will get traded this year. Like I said earlier, I was going to talk about, you know, Lindor, you know, what the Indians are going to do with him. And I'm going to say, no, he will not be traded this year unless, this is the caveat, unless a team is willing to come forward and blow the Indians out of the water. That is the only way Frankie will get traded this year, is if a team's going to come to the Indians and give them really, basically, guys who are MLB ready now and prospects. Draft picks, I'm not 100% on if they'll get draft picks out of it, but I would definitely say expect, if a trade does happen like that, you're going to have to talk about maybe prospects and MLB ready players right now in terms of any possibility that Francisco Lindor does get traded. If no team does come forward with a trade possibility that'll make the Indians go, okay, let's do it, I would say no. Francisco Lindor is not going to be traded this year, like I said, unless a team comes out of nowhere and makes the Indians go, oh, maybe we should consider it. Other than that, no, I don't see that trade happening. If there's going to be a trade, it's probably going to be sometime in the next off season, where it's going to be a 1-year rental possibility. And by then, who knows what Francisco Lindor's, in terms of his value, is going to be and what teams are going to do about that. So not really sure how that's going to be. Something to definitely keep track of in terms of that. But ultimately, right now, no, there's not going to be any trade for Francisco Lindor. I'm hoping that he does stay with the Indians if they do extend him. But other than that, not really sure of how that's going to work out. So I guess it all just depends on what's going to happen in terms of that deal. But thank you, Blake, for your question. The next question is from Bart Sullivan. Why is Yasiel Puig not in any camp yet? Nationally, our outfield is considered average at best. Why wouldn't we be happy with production from last season? That's a great question. With that, I'm not sure why no team has taken a flyer on Yasiel Puig yet. If I had any guess, it's probably he's probably either asking for way too much money, or the term just isn't right, or it just could be both. In terms of maybe the terms aren't just setting up right, and maybe how much money it's going to be too, because, you know, Yasiel Puig he's still a productive outfielder at a decent age. But my overall guess is maybe it's just because of term and money. Maybe it's just not adding up right in terms of a team not taking a flyer in Yasiel Puig. Now, in terms of the Cleveland Indians and why they have not taken this move on him, the front office has come out and said that they want to give more of a look to their younger players. So you're talking Greg Allen, Oscar Mercado, Framil Reyes and all that, Tyler Naquin, Bradley Zimmer. They want to give those guys a shot to see what they can do in long-term future because the Indians don't want to have long outstanding veteran outfielders taking a possible roster spot from guys that they want to get productively more reps in terms of Major League Baseball, in terms of playing in the majors. Now, granted, they do have Jordan Luplo and Domingo Santana and Delino Del Shields, but that's more of, having some veterans in there, but veterans at prices where it's reasonable to have them start, but also, help the younger guys move on in terms of what they're going to do with production on in the future. So like I said, Antonetti and all those guys have come out and said that the Indians are going to be looking towards their younger players. So expect Oscar Mercado to get a long look, Tyler Naquin, Greg Allen, Bradley Zimmer, and Framil Reyes. Those guys are going to get a lot of looks in terms of getting chances to play in the outfield. Even possibly Jake Bowers at some point too. It's just that is just what's going on with the Indians. Now, like I said, everyone loved Puig's production. He did a great job. He brought some power to the lineup and stuff like that. But it's probably, like I said earlier, term and money. It's probably what the big thing is, especially with his age too, in terms of that, and for the fact that Puig has moved on with a lot of teams over the last couple of years. He's been with the Dodgers, been with the Reds, and he's been with the Indians. So it really just depends on. Just really depends on what teams see in Yasiel Puig, and in terms of the Indians, they want to look towards their younger guys. It's basically what the Indians do. They look towards, getting productive help from the younger guys. So I would expect to see them have more at reps in the majors than bringing Yasiel Puig back. So thank you for your question, but that's just how it is, man. Just how the Indians are. They want to see what their younger guys can do. So like I said, great question. Next is from Owen Schutz. I butcher Owen's name so bad sometimes, and he's giving me a phonetic way to say it. It's Owen Owen Schutzler. I hope I got that right finally. Schutzler. So basically he's got two questions for me. Question one, how do you feel about the new hashtag #OurTribe? And question number two, Bobby Bradley's been having a good spring. Chances he makes the team. Right. Thank you for those questions. I'm actually kind of glad I held off on, waiting to do this episode for the last few weeks, because Bobby Bradley has been assigned to the AAA team as of a couple weeks ago. He was sent down to the AAA team. Now he did do a really good job in terms of, he's had a great spring. He spent the whole offseason in Arizona with the trainers at the facility, and it seems like he's finally got the issue of having the proper weight and muscle and build on his body to make sure that he has a productive season, because there's been years where he had a lot of weight on him and was really slow but had power. Or he would lose a lot of weight, but then lose power, be a little bit faster. But it was just a big sway from one to the other that he just struggled both of those years. So it seems like this year he, worked with the trainers in Arizona, got to where he had that nice mix of, having power and speed and just having his body right to make sure that he is productive this year. So I think he did a great job with that. And I would definitely see a good possibility of Bobby Bradley getting a shot here down the line in terms of making the major league team. It just all depends on what is going to happen with Carlos Santana, because he just came up for a great year last year, and then what the Indians going to do with Jake Bauer, because Jake Bauer does play first, or the Indians going to look towards maybe making Jake Bauer's maybe more so an outfielder at some point. I'm not really sure. It just depends on what they're going to do with Jake and see what the plans are with him and what they're going to do with Carlos Santana. So I think Bobby Bradley will make the team at some point. I don't know if it's going to be more of a backup first baseman role or one of those guys who just comes off the bench, you know, in key situations to bring a little bit of power to the lineup in some way. So that's a good question. It's definitely something to think about in terms of Bobby Bradley. Now, the other question that Owen gave me was, how do I feel about the new hashtag Our Tribe? I honestly love it because the rally together thing, that's been going on since 2015, 2016. And I still think rally together is still a great hashtag. I have no problem with that, but I really like the Our Tribe thing that the Indians are going on now because they've done a couple photos now of, you know, Jose Ramirez, you know, where he came from, you know, coming up to Cleveland. They did some with Carlos Santana in terms of that, where they had, you know, showing him coming to Cleveland as well. And they even did fans. Some, you know, young fan in particular, her and her daughter, you know, and they had the photo of her. And I think it was something with Francisco Lindor, you know, signing arm. I think she got a tattoo of it. I think that's what the Indians were talking about because they showed the photo of her. And I think they mentioned something about the tattoo. I'm not really 100% sure. But yeah, that they've done a lot of cool things as of late with the Our Tribe thing, you know, where the player, you know, where of all the players coming from to come to Cleveland and even the fans too, because, you know, this is our tribe. This is our team. And I think it's a really great thing the Indians are doing, adding this Our Tribe thing, you know, bringing the players into this and also bringing the fans in too, because it's just one team, one family. Is what I love. So I really, really love this Our Tribe thing that the Indians are doing. I think, you know, like I said, Rally Together was really great, but I think the Our Tribe thing takes us to the next level, and I really, really love that. So really, really cool what the Indians are doing with that. So Owen, great job with those two questions. Even a cool thing too, he actually sent me another question. So Owen, bringing in the heat with three questions this week, man. I'm telling you, dude, that's five questions, you know, overall for this episode, but three of them from Owen. And guys, like I said, if you have some questions, send them my way. I love interacting with you guys. I love answering some fan questions. This was his other question from last week that I saved it for this week. Will the virus shortened season lead to a repeat of 1985 with a happier ending this time? Now, talking about, you know, the Indians making the World Series, you know, making the World Series in 1995, and unfortunately, you know, leading it to, you know, them losing the World Series to the Braves in 6-4, and this was after, you know, the lockout, you know, this was, you know, the shutdown of the 1994 season, you know, because the strike shortened season. So basically, it's like, well, because with the virus, will there be a repeat of 95? Basically, will the Indians catch lightning in the bottle again and possibly take a shortened season and make a run of it to a possible World Series appearance and hopefully winning one? I'm not really 100% on how that's going to work in terms of how long is the season going to be. Are we talking 81 games? Are we talking just conference scheduling only? We're just playing, we're not conference, league. Are we talking about just playing a major league schedule where we're just playing the West, the Central, and the East, and that's about it with no interleague games? Or are we going to do a lot of double headers and no days off? Basically, all the days off that teams had, which wasn't a whole lot to begin with, but are they just going to take all those out and throw in a lot of double headers? It all just depends on how the schedule is going to be like and how our team is going to be affected by that as well. So ultimately, I want to say I really hope that maybe the Indians catch heat again like they did in 95 where it just worked out and they made a World Series appearance. I would love that. It just depends on our bullpen, you know, our bullpen being good like they were last year. They were top three in the, you know, they were top three in the majors in terms of ERA and stuff like that. There were some parts where the bullpen did struggle at some points, but they got better overall. You know, then it all depends on how the rotation is going to be. You know, having, you know, Cookie Carrasco for the whole year, how is he going to be? Having Mike Clevenger when he gets healthy and he's going to stay for the whole year, how is Shane Bieber going to be? Is he going to have another great year like he did last year? Are we going to have a good year from Aaron Civale again? Are we going to have one from Adam Plutko, Zach Plesac, and all that? It depends, like I said, with the bullpen. you know, Hunter Wood, Karaschak, you know, Nick Wittgren, all those guys. It just all really depends on how it's going to be with those guys. You know, like I said, is the offense going to be more consistent this year? Because there was times where the Indians were really streaky as an offensive team. You know, the team did struggle when, you know, there was times where they just couldn't hit. You know, Jose Ramirez was out of lineup for 2 months. The Indians kind of struggled. He came back. They caught fire late. You know, how is Lindor going to be? Is he going to, you know, Lindor's been on fire the last few years. How is he going to keep his streak going alive? Is Carlos Santana going to have another great year? You know, he did had a great year coming back last year to the Indians. Is Roberto Perez going to have another great year like he did last year? You know, because he finally got his first full season, full-time start as a catcher. Will he have another great season as well? How's Jose Ramirez going to be when he's fully healthy? How is the outfield going to be? You know, we're going to have, you know, Framil Reyes for the whole year. How is he going to be? How are we going to be with, you know, Jordan Luplo on left? How's Tyler Naquin going to come back when he's healthy? How's Oscar Mercado going to be in his second year in the major leagues? You know, how's Delino Del Shields going to be with the Indians? Because he's mostly, you know, not a lot of, you know, he's okay with the average, but he's got a lot of speed. How is he going to be? What are they going to do with Greg Allen? What are they going to do with Bradley Zimmer? How is Domingo Santana going to be? Because Domingo Santana did get some home runs and some RBIs last year, really early on in the season last year, but then he really tailed off for the good majority of the season last year. Is he going to find his form again? And is he going to be that sneaky steal in the offseason that the Indians were looking for? You know, if he pops off for 25 to 30 home runs and gets like 75 to possibly 85 RBIs, is Domingo Santana going to do that? You know, is Jake Bowers going to get more consistent? How's Sandy Leon going to be as the catcher? It really just depends on a lot of factors. You know, are the Indians going to catch the Twins by surprise and, you know, stick with them this year and not have a slow start and to the point where they have to make, you know, a big, massive comeback to catch them up? You know, how are they going to be with the White Sox? Because, you know, everyone's talking about the White Sox being the second best team in the Central, which I don't think they are. Yes, they brought a lot of guys in, but I just think there's a lot of hype on the White Sox that people need to pump the brakes on. It just depends on how they play the White Sox, and they got to take care of the Royals and they got to take care of the Tigers. They got to win those games. They have to beat up on teams that stink. They got to beat the Orioles. They got to beat the Rays. Well, not most of the Rays. They got to be like Toronto. You know, they got to take care of the Mariners in the West, the Rangers, the Angels. Like I said, they got to take care of the, you know, AL Central. They got to win those games as well. They got to beat up on the really weak teams in the division. And they really got to have either 500 or winning records against the White Sox and the Twins to do any damage in the Central. And they got to take care of business in the other divisions and also in interleague play too. So I would love to say yes, but I really can't say yes. And I really can't say no either, because who knows, you know, what the season's going to be like. You know, how's everyone going to be when they come back healthy? And will the team stay consistent more often than not instead of being the streaky team that they were last year? It all really just depends, but I don't know. I'd love to give you a 100% answer on that, but I can't tell you. So not really sure. But Owen, thank you for those questions, man. I really appreciate it. You know, thank you to everyone who sent me the questions. We'd love to answer some more questions on the next episode whenever we get a chance to do one. Hopefully, there's more news going on. I definitely will keep up to date with the virtual Indians baseball season. That's, like I mentioned earlier, that the Indians have been working on in terms of, you know, working with Jim Rosenhaus from, you know, Sports Time Ohio, as long as, you know, with Jensen Lewis as well. Those two guys have been doing a great job, like I said, with doing that. So I'll definitely be keeping up with that. I'll definitely be, you know, retweeting that and talking about that on Twitter. You know, share, you know, the Indians videos, you know, the highlight videos of that onto the Facebook page as well. You know, I'll keep talking about that during the, you know, the episodes, the show as well. Maybe also in the future, maybe talk about some Indians books that I have. You know, I have a lot of Terry Pluto's books, you know, and, you know, there's other books that are talking about Indians teams from, you know, 48, you know, 50, you know, talk about the, you know, all the years, you know, after Rocky Calavito got traded, you know, early to mid 2000s, you know, mid 90s Indians, even Indians from the, you know, during the Great Depression of the 20s through the 40s too. So maybe do some, you know, talk about those books that I've been reading. I'll definitely, you know, maybe post them on the Facebook page and on Twitter just to show you guys what books I'm reading. in terms of, you know, just Indians history, which would be really cool for, you know, if you guys are interested in stuff like that. And if you guys have any, you know, suggestions or ideas or stuff you want me to talk about, please let me know. You know, go onto the Facebook page, you know, just if I, you know, post up something, you know, give me some suggestions. If you have anything else, you know, go into the Twitter at Downtown Indians, hit me up on Twitter, you know, DM, or, hit me up with a mention, you know, with some suggestions. Or if you have, you know, send me an email at downtownindians@gmail.com. We'll love to get emails from you guys and, you know, interact some more, since, you know, basically everyone's at a stay at home order right now and stuff like that. So, you know, we got a lot of time on our hands, guys. So if you ever want to, you know, shoot some questions over or shoot some ideas, or, you know, just want to talk about, you know, anything Indians, I would love to interact with you guys some more during this time. So with that, I will wrap up the episode 4 of Downtown Indians. Like I said, thank you to everyone who sent me questions. Like I said, go check out the Facebook page at Downtown Indians. Check out Twitter at Downtown Indians. And send some emails at downtownindians@gmail.com. So make sure to go like, follow, share, invite, everything, guys. Please do so. Send in questions and all that stuff. I really appreciate that. So I hope everyone has a good night. Hope everyone had a good weekend. And I hope you guys have a great week as well. You know, stay safe out there. You know, do whatever you can to flatten the curve. You know, do everything that you can to help out in terms of us getting rid of the coronavirus, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we get some more Indians baseball back as soon as possible. So, like I said, have a great night, guys, and I'll see you next time on Downtown Indians. And like I said, as always, let's go Indians.
Beats by Esco.